Hey everyone, welcome to More Than Meets These Guys. This podcast is a journey through Transformers from the beginning of the animated series with three old friends coming at it from different perspectives. Together we will go episode by episode with the occasional extra to look at how the show holds up or if it's a trap of nostalgia. We'll be looking at all the things involved in the episode, whether there are real world factors that crept into the writing or the episode is typical afternoon cartoon fodder. I'm Evan, a lifelong fan, is familiar with all aspects of the franchise and the fandom. While Ed was never, he was familiar with it, but he really never got into it. And Jay, who is right there in the middle, man, he's a jack of all trades of nerddom. So he's a pirate.
I'm a pirate.
Yeah. Welcome everyone. So Jay and I were talking about we just went and saw Transformers 1. I saw opening night of the Thursday night in IMAX.
Mm-hmm.
And my gosh, it made me feel so much better that the fact that I could leave Michael Bay's movies behind because they're terrible. Right. It felt like
it actually was good then because the trailer didn't make it.
The trailer's terrible.
Look like something that I could not care less about.
The trailer was really bad at selling it.
Okay. Yeah. They went the wrong direction. There are some jokes in it, but honestly, they're playing on the trope. It's a classic because there's only like so many stories. Which by the way, we're going to time travel here. This is going to premiere the following week. This week I'm going to premiere the Simon Furman interview, which it was really cool because we got to talk about literary tropes. And he was talking about the idea that there are only so many stories ever written, and every story has been rewritten with different characters. And Transformers 1 was a story about two friends growing up with the same ideals, but diverging in different, very different ways. And
it's
making
X-Men,
choices.
So it's X-Men.
Or it's Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a trope. It's a trope for a reason, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What if Luke decided to go to the dark side? I mean, that's the whole thing. Like it's a trope of here are your tools, make your own destiny, see what decisions you make, and with your decisions plot your future. And it did a great job. It was a really good job. Yeah.
It's a lot darker than you'd think it'd be. I know that I had decided from the trailers not to watch it. The trailers do it a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
But what brought me around was somebody told me, oh, Steve Buscemi is playing Starscream.
He was great.
And like, that is, I would never think of that casting, but it's perfect.
Oh my
Steve
gosh.
Buscemi always plays Starscream.
So, he was so good.
So yeah. that when you said that, I for some reason, when you said Steve Buscemi, I've been on a big comics thing lately. Like I've been trying to dig into old comics. And I was actually, before we started recording today, I was listening to a podcast about Grant Morrison, who I love. I will fight till the ends of the earth for Grant Morrison. But when you said Steve Buscemi, I thought for some reason that my brain clocked that as Sal Buscema.
How'd you go there?
Like, wow.
I wish. Is Sal Buscema even alive? He would have to be at least 90.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Or maybe it was John Buscema that I was anyway. It was a Buscema. It was a Marvel artist that I was thinking of. And so when you first said that, I was like, the Buscema, one of the Buscemas did the art for it. Okay, that's cool. And then you're like the voice. I was like, how did they get him to voice it? Is he voice acting? Like,
the cool thing is, it is actually it's kind of a retelling of like two different episodes. I'd say War Dawn. It has a lot of elements of War Dawn. Also has a lot of elements of the Search for Alpha Trion. There's like all the elements that are in it. There's so many Easter eggs in the background. And you're like, hey, it's Braun. Hey, it's RC. Look at all these characters. Like, I know that one. But it's told from a very different point of view. We're like, okay, we're going to go the direction. Even to the I guess kind of the big bad of the movie. It's I don't think it's kind of a false big bad. Is even something that was from the 86 movie and the season 3. So, I mean, there's so many things that they did, but they use a lot of the Simon Furman lore, which, I was talking to him about it, and he said, hey man, have you seen this? Get all your lore. What'd you think of it? And he goes, it's not out in the UK yet. I can't see it. So I go, I'm sorry. And we'll talk to you more about it. But, man, it was really good. The voice acting was great. You know, Michael Keegan, I expected a lot of more Key and Peele zaniness, but no, he was great.
Oh man, but the one Key and Peele joke he gets in there,
Yes.
it's so good. It's so solid.
I
The Ed.
was. Let's go.
Oh,
Go
go ahead.
Well, I was like elbowing my wife, and she's like, "I know, I know." That was the one of the like first jokes we shared together. So I'm like elbowing. She's like, "Yeah." Man, it went from, like I said, a buddy movie to a very serious, dark, resolution, and it felt very, I don't know, it felt, once again, using the trope, it felt very, I don't know if you could say Star Wars, it felt like everyone's seems happy, but are they all really happy? There's something really
Right.
on the background. So
Right.
honestly, and I stayed to the very end of the credits. It was a payoff at the very last end of the credits, which it was a great payoff.
Oh, and I saw it with Sarah, who's not a Transformers person at all, and she really enjoyed it.
Yeah, my
And she
wife.
particularly, well, I don't want to spoil anything, but when she was asking, "Hey, why is this one character being such a jerk?" And I'm like, "Oh, that's really," and she is like, "Oh, you know what I'm saying? It's a fun movie to watch." Ed,
And
are there any chance you're going to watch it?
it was, if you guys are talking about it, then yeah, I'll watch it.
It's okay. So, Honestly, good.
yeah, you should
Okay,
watch it.
I'll
We
check it.
should do
All
an
right, I'll
episode
check
on it.
it out. So,
yeah,
Because,
definitely.
yeah. I will
So,
say that
yeah.
we need some, we have some housekeeping to take care of, though, and that one of our recurring jokes on one of your recurring jokes on here, Evan, that you constantly call Ironhide Chris Christopherson bot.
Oh no, that's Trailbreaker.
Trailbreaker, you call him Chris
Break
Christopherson bot,
ass, I'll put you off a force field.
passed away yesterday.
Yes, he did.
So
It.
RIP, voice, Touchstone.
And
Yeah, I
man,
mean, that's a classic country, voice gone. also in the movie Millennium, which is a surprisingly really good movie that I used
like
to
the
catch
movie
on
a lot.
cable a lot and really really dug.
I as
And
one of
man, I would go with he's the sexiest man from the 70s.
the
I know a lot of people would probably go with Travolta, but
Uh,
I mean, if you're including the whole 70s aesthetic in it, he's the guy.
I gotta go Tom Skerritt from Alien.
It's
Tom
pretty
Skerritt looking
70s
real
sexy.
70s looking dude, man.
If Tom Skerritt was a bigger dude and a little gruffier, that's why I think Chris Christopherson gets it, because he's bigger, he's a little more gruff. And I mean, dude, he still had it in Blade as Whistler.
Oh man, if yeah. Dude, Blade's so
He
good.
made that movie to me.
Blade is so good.
The
It's
best Marvel movie.
unbelievable how good
The
that
best
early
Marvel,
Blade
dude.
movie.
The best. It is the best
I
Marvel movie.
mean, Ed, I was about to call you out on, oh, that's just contrarian Ed stuff, but I think you might have, I think you might be onto
Look,
something.
I'm on record as saying that I just don't really care for. I think the Marvel movies, for the most part, are kind of dull, and they're not really for me. But
Right.
I'll concede that there are some of them that are good. Like the first Iron Man is good.
Right.
The first and second Captain Americas are good.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy 1 is good.
I haven't
I'm
seen
kind of
three
hard
yet.
pressed to think of another good one after that, as far as the movies
I
go.
don't know. I really enjoy the first and third Thor a lot. I
Oh God,
mean,
I
dude,
am.
I'm not looking for high art. I'm looking for something that's fun. I mean, the Avengers Endgame is fun. I mean, I get hyped up. You can't tell me when they start opening the portals behind him, and he's standing like Steve standing there in the battlefield. Spoiler alert, everyone, for like a 3 or 4 year old movie at this point. My God, it's probably 10 years old. What am I talking about?
It's, I think it's closer to 10 at this
Yeah,
point.
so that scene where all the portals start open up behind him, and Falcon's like on your left, dude. I don't care who you are. That if that doesn't get you hyped up, that's like listening to my favorite song from Sponge called named Plowed. I can listen
Right, yeah.
to them every single time, and I was like, man, I want to do something.
See, I felt like that movie was that those last two Avengers movies. I felt like somebody was throwing handfuls of Skittles at my face for 3 hours. Is how
Yeah.
I felt, and I don't really like things thrown at my face.
I
But
mean, if it was a different candy, if it was Reese's Pieces, I could get on board. I've never been a huge fan of Skittles.
yeah, I got.
That's Dune, though. It's just tan and brown and orange. It's
That's
strange. Which I'm okay with. I'm a fan of Dune. I'm a fan of Reese's Pieces.
Ed, did you watch Guardians 3?
No, I haven't seen Guardians
I have
3.
not. You should watch Guardians 3 just because,
Okay.
I got weepy in it.
And I
I
know.
was
I heard that in your podcast.
yeah,
Same
and
here.
I thought for a second, I was like, oh, this is because Ronald Reagan broke my brain. This is just, you
Oh,
know,
he
because
did.
I identify more with things on the screen than things in my real life. But then I looked over and it had messed Sarah up too. So,
Right.
you know, so it, yeah, I think it's genuine and emotional movie.
No, I heard a lot that about that.
So I have some news though, and I know I've been on record on this entire podcast saying that I don't buy toys because I don't know what I'm going to do with them because
Right.
they're not Warhammer figures and I can't play a game with them. But yesterday I bought an action figure. I bought the
What
first
did you
action figure
buy?
for myself that I've bought in many, many years. I bought a Misfits Crimson Ghost action figure.
Well, you know, that's cool.
I was really into this thing.
You know, that's
They
legit for you.
made like 20 of them, and I couldn't pick which one I wanted. I was like, I'm just gonna buy one of these to put on my shelf, and I
Dude,
couldn't pick which one I wanted.
guess how many of these guys there are? I guess how many bumblebees there are? 20 would be nice. There's probably like
Right.
50 of those things.
Yeah,
But
but
yeah, this
those have
thing
been
is
released
great, by the
over the
way. This
years. They've been
Speedo
released over the
86.
years. You've had 40 years to accumulate this. This was like getting every Misfits thing thrown at me at one time. This was like getting more Skittles thrown in my face.
You
40
like
years
Skittles?
of,
No Misfits, and then 20 Misfits.
and then 20 Misfits. Yeah,
I think
exactly.
we've
Well, now
all.
they're the punk rock Kiss. There's
They 100%
yeah.
are. Yeah,
But
yeah.
those Super Seven figures are very cool. I like those figures a lot. And we talked the other day, I think on the last episode about how cool the Danzig ones are.
Yeah.
And they made Conan the Barbarian ones like that. Have you seen these?
Yes, I have one on pre-order.
Is it? It's like it's all come full circle because He-Man was a knockoff of Conan, and now there's
Well, repurposing, but yeah.
a Conan that's just a ripoff of He-Man.
Right. And
Cool as
it
that.
100% looks like a John Buscema drawing. Like, I love
So yeah. But so yeah, I just
Yeah,
want to let you guys know I'm on the slippery slope, and
I.
I'll probably have 60 reaction figures here pretty soon. So
Well,
yeah,
they're
Super
great.
7
Seven is the me TV of action figures.
I only one I have is a Jason. I like Jason Voorhees. He's got a Michael Myers. It's the only one I have.
Right on.
And it just kind of hangs out in my pencil jar. I don't know why. But yeah, so we learned a lot already today. We've learned that Ed thinks about Skittles being thrown in his face a lot. I've never heard of the expression, but now I cannot see it. Because thank you for that. Anyone else has opinions about that? Ed hates Transformers at gmail.com.
You
We'll
could
see about it.
email some Skittles to me.
Yeah. Well, like, what kind of Skittles? The red originals? You and the sours? You know, the wild berries?
I don't like sour candy.
Okay, that's fine.
Oh man, Ed, this is one of those things me and you are flip sides of the coin on. I
Well, that's fine.
love sour
All
candy.
right, well,
Well,
that's the end of the podcast, guys. We gotta go.
when we go to the movies, you can have all the sour candies, and I'll take all the Reese's Pieces. So, we're gonna go see Dune 3 in years.
Well, I mean, if we're going to see Dune, we're getting Reese's
Forget
Pieces.
Reese's Pieces, right? Yes. So,
Yeah. So, speaking of pieces and stuff that people want,
hold on, stop, stop, stop.
what?
It would be wise if we got a big back of Reese's Pieces. I'll tell you what else is wise is David Wise, who wrote the episode
See,
Trans
this is why you
Europe
did the
Express.
transitions, man.
There
This
we
is
go. There's
why you
why.
did the
He
transitions.
goes to me. I'll do the transitions.
But dude, I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking.
I
Well,
mean,
now you
if you
do.
don't try, you
Yeah,
gotta
the
try.
do or do not. So I
Right.
hear. So yeah, this is another David Wise banger. And this is the one that a long time ago, Jay, he was like, I gotta be on for it. And we just kept
Right.
going. It was like, well, it'll be eventually. So here we are. We're finally at the David Wise banger. And this is one of those episodes I never remember. But when I watch it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. This is like Raiders of the Lost Ark meets Transformers meets like Fast and Furious or something. I don't know.
I was going to say this is 100% Raiders meets the Cannonball Run.
Oh, it's even better. Yeah, 100% that.
Yeah, this is my all-time favorite episode. And you know, we'll talk about a lot of why it is as we get into the story of it. But you know, a little while ago, me and my buddy Zach were talking about the newest Indiana Jones movie. And you know, we both agreed it's fine. It's fine. It's okay. It's not ruining anybody's childhood. It's not as good as the first three, but it's fine.
No.
He said that it ranks fourth on his list. And I said,
Ooh.
no, I rank Crystal Skull above this one because of the things missing with, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg not being there. And he was like, name one thing. And my thing was cool names. George Lucas makes up the coolest names on Earth. All three of us 100% know the names of two non-speaking characters in the cantina.
Yeah, no,
And
100%.
why this one stuck with me is there's three incredibly cool names in this episode that we'll talk about as we
Oh
get.
yeah, okay.
Okay.
There are. I know. I can do it right now. I don't know the third one. We'll get into that. We'll
So.
have to talk about Crystal Skull later on because I don't care for Crystal Skull, but not for the reasons that you think. I don't care for Crystal Skull. There's a real particular
I
reason I
would love to
don't.
talk about it because I've had a whole cycle with it.
Yeah. So
So.
yeah, I'm actually because of your whole feeling with movies, I want to watch Spider-Man 3 again and see if I like it any better. I like Spider-Man 3.
Well,
It's fine.
no, Jay loves it. Yeah, I
it's
love it.
good.
I
It's
think
great.
you
I
could
haven't watched
try
it
it.
since I watched it in theater, so kind of curious. Yeah, it's better than any of the Marvel ones.
It definitely has more personality than a lot of them.
It has a lot of that.
Yeah.
Is
What's
that third
the.
Marvel Spider-Man is the worst movie that I've ever seen. It's it is tied with like Short Circuit for the worst movie I've ever seen.
We're off the rails on this episode.
Man,
Hey,
we so
okay,
okay, so
yeah,
this episode, all right.
I'm gonna just cut it off here because we're just not seeing eye to eye here, man. I mean, when we got to Short Circuit 3, I was like, we're off the chain.
So yeah, man. Okay, this is yeah, like you said, a David Wise banger. And this okay, Megatron barrels into this. It looks like a mosque,
Bro,
right?
we start off in the Middle East, man. Okay,
Yeah.
and this is real world factors are all over this episode to
Oh
this
yeah. today, to literally today. But I think
But
we're gonna
hey,
get canceled talking
also
about this episode.
modern day factors, because there's a lot of talk in Istanbul in this, and there's a lot of talk about Istanbul with our New York mayor right now.
That
So
is you are correct. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you guys saw the news today, but there was a big invasion of Lebanon today. So
yeah, I've not seen that.
oh yeah. So Megatron is looking for something. He's interrogating these Middle Eastern gentlemen here who have these thick cartoon villain accents. These are guys who are like extras from Aladdin.
Right.
We know one thing about Transformers. They've always treated the Middle Eastern characters really well and very 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 good.
I would at least give them the softball that they don't really treat anybody well.
No, they don't.
I mean,
You're right.
their idea of white middle America is spark plug and Spike, and those guys are annoying.
Look,
Yeah.
their idea of a New Yorker is Raoul.
Right.
Though I gotta say, man, this guy's voice, I thought it was the guy giving the box to Frank in Hellraiser. I take the box. It was yours already. And that's this guy in there, he's saying, like, I've been waiting for this.
Right.
The Pearl of Bohadine. Before that though, like Megatron's trying to find the location of this thing, right? So he asks the guy, and this guy has a super thick accent, and then he shoots at him, and then the guy loses his entire accent. He's all like, "Oh, you're looking for this place? It's over by the mosque, over by the other place, by the herb stand." And he
It's
became a regular dude,
so
like
it is
from.
buried in the Galata Valley near the Alabay River. That's where it's at. By the way, which is a real place, by it's a district in Istanbul.
I found some cool stuff about that also. But
I'm not special
so
now.
but he says he tells Megatron to go to Draymond Street. And that sounds so familiar to me, and I cannot place why. Do you guys have any clues on Draymond Street?
It sounded familiar to me too because it was such like a address, you know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? Like, yeah.
I was thinking of the Mr. Drummond from what's that show?
Different Strokes.
Different
Different
Strokes, thank you.
Strokes.
That's all I thought about.
Well,
Yeah.
I don't.
But he tells him to go to this street and buy an herb vendor and beside the Mosque of Selim. Okay, so Selim what ruled the Ottoman Empire from 1566 to 1574. Okay, and there is a Mosque of Selim, but it's not in Istanbul. It's northeast. It's almost on the Greek border at a town there. But this mosque is massive. This thing is like Taj Mahal size. Like it is like a feat of architecture. And you cannot miss this thing. It is a tourist attraction. It's like a like a UDESCO or UNESCO, whatever, like heritage site. It is a famous thing. And this being like the footnote of directions is absolutely insane. I mean, the location notwithstanding, but it's like telling somebody like, okay, you're gonna go to the Sbarro and turn left, and there's a dude with a shoeshine stand, and then you're gonna turn there, and then right next to that, right by the Empire State Building, there's the place you're looking for.
A Sbarro, really?
Right. You could have just opened with the Empire
You could have just said
State
by
Building
the Empire
because
State, but
that'd
like,
be
oh,
easy to
okay, the Empire
find.
State. Okay, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, there's a blue trailer. You turn there, and then you turn again, and underneath that, there's like you'll see the place there, and but you can look up and you see Mount Rushmore there.
Right.
Oh, okay. So this is pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah, and after Megatron gets all the information, he doesn't leave through the hole already made in the side. He get me some new hole and leaves.
He breaks a new hole, yeah,
Thanks
in
a
the wall.
lot. Bam, is the other side.
And again, in the Transformers universe, there's some really high ceilings.
Yeah. Everything
No.
accommodates a transformer. That's the thing. You got to build to a transformer.
Actually, that kind of makes sense. I was watching The Fellowship of the Ring with Alice the other day. She loves that movie so much. We were looking at the dwarven the Warden of Halls, yeah, and we were like, why are they so tall? Dwarves are so short. What's the reason to have such huge halls? There's no reason for it. They're
Right,
so
if
tiny.
you're little bitty guys, right.
I don't know, is it ostentatious for a reason?
Right.
Anyways, yeah. So here we are with
I
this
would
mosque.
assume that they were natural caves, but a lot of it, remember that they had been mining for like thousands of years at this point too.
Yeah.
So it was possible that they just like gradually like mined it away or whatever. But
That's a good explanation.
sure. Give me the no prize.
Right.
So they go find this old Swami looking guy. They get the directions to this pearl. What was it? The pearl of what?
Burl of
The
Bahedin.
Pearl of Bahudeen. This is one of those
Bahudeen.
names I was talking about. I
This
thought of
is
this MacGuffin at least once a week, every day since like 1985. I don't know why it stuck with me, but I will always remember the Pearl of Bahudeen.
this could
If
have been
I
a
had any
total
money and anybody cared, it might be my rosebud on my deathbed.
you got lots of words out of your mouth, Bahadine. What is
Right.
that? Yeah, so man, it's kind of a cool, like, yeah, trope, like, what, sorry, trope, MacGuffin. It feels like an Indiana Jones movie. It totally does.
Oh, and he gives him like the indie warning. If you get it, you might not be able to put it back.
Dude,
And they're both
so
like, whatever, dude.
like, I'm just gonna go get it. Like, we need an archaeologist. And so Soundwave goes up to a cliff and he's broadcasting circles. We're back to the roots, guys. We're like, this is like when Radiohead made Hail to the Thief. We're back up, we're out of the synthesizers, we're back to the guitars. This is cool. I'm good.
Man, I love the name of the archaeologist they had to find though.
Dr. Terra Nova.
Terra Nova. New Earth. Dr. New Earth.
Dude, if I never had an interest in math rock, but if I ever joined a math rock band, it was going to be called Dr. Terra Nova.
That's good. Yeah.
He looks like the ancient aliens guy too.
Right.
They don't even get it. They don't find him though, right? Because we just cut from here like to the race.
The
Oh yeah.
Europa 2000
The
at the
Europa
Arc de
2000.
Triomphe.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's which is a race. They're gonna race from Paris to Istanbul. So out of curiosity, I was wondering how far it is from Paris to Istanbul, if it actually is 2,000 units of anything. And it is. It's 1,700 miles, if you
All
drive.
right.
There are.
I kind of figured a racing nerd was involved in this. And I think that nerd is probably why Mirage is the only like fast car that's not in this episode.
What is with that?
I
Yeah,
think
that
because
was
probably
weird.
someone was like, well, you know, an Indy car wouldn't be in that race.
There's there
He's
okay,
not wrong.
we gotta get the geography eventually, but we'll get there because there's a lot going on here that doesn't make sense.
But we got some cool cars though. Well, on the starting line, we got some cool cars. We got a we got like a an old school Mini Cooper. There's a 70s Honda Civic in there. And then there's one that just has a bunch of chicken wire on the front. Like a it came in from like a Mad Max movie.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw
Yeah,
this
three
go. It's going.
2000.
Again, I always like it when you can tell they're having fun. And
Oh
whoever
yeah.
drew the Mad Max car was having fun.
Yeah, I'm just gonna draw a grate on the front. I'm gonna draw a grate on the front of it.
But
So
we get to another name here, man. Augie Kinney.
Augie Kinney, this is just doing rules.
Augie Kinney is a great name. He's such a great character. Like, he just does not care at all that the Transformers are a big deal. He's going
Oh
to be a
yeah.
jerk to them like he is to everybody else.
The funny thing about him, though, is there's a reference to him in one of the later Transformers shows. It was Car Robots in Japan. Over here, it's called RID, the 2001 of
Right,
Robots in
right,
the
right,
US.
right.
Yeah. They basically referenced him in relation to why a certain Transformer was the way he was. Like, it was part of his personality. So yeah, Augie Kinney got more recognition before Spike did in these later shows.
Right.
And
It's
Spike did a lot.
cool.
Dude,
Right.
he's a 70s
What?
anime character. He has 70s anime hair.
He
Yeah,
does.
like he acts like a 70s anime rogue. I like this. But also, he's got a racing jacket. Okay, well, he has a helmet that just says racer on the
Sir.
front of it. That's like if you were a football player and it just said player across the front. That's cool. But he's also, but this is really cool. He has a racing jacket with a giant A on it. So he's basically like Laverne from Laverne and Shirley. He's got his initiative everywhere. This is cool. I'm down. I'm down for this guy. I like
He,
it.
this dude is like a speed racer villain. It's
He
great.
is. He's very much of a speed
100%.
racer.
That's what I was gonna say. He's like a speed racer villain, but he gets, he's more than a villain in this one.
Yes. Augie Kinney, who Speed really doesn't know, this is his third cousin from his mother's side.
I thought of that same
God.
thing. I thought that same thing.
It's so good. But
Dude,
yeah, man, he is pissed that they're gonna ride with the Transformers. He's like, dude, they got robot brains. That's not fair.
not even real cars.
No.
I also something I thought during this, can you just decide something's not charity? Like if it's for charity, you say, okay, but if I win it, I'm gonna keep it. I don't think you can do that, but Augie Kinney thinks you can.
Well, he's Augie Kinney.
He's like a Canadian man, like
I want to know, is it like spelled like the do you remember that white wine, the Italian wine called Canai? Is it spelled like that? Canei? Augie Canai. I wish it was.
I have Googled Augie Kinney more times than a healthy person should, and I will just say there is discourse on how the spelling should be. I don't know if there's an official spelling.
You probably did. You probably Googled his name more than anyone else has, including David
Right.
Wise.
Right.
But yeah, so man, this race gets going, and they found Bumblebee in the race.
Hold on. So
Oh, okay.
when
Sorry.
the race starts, the dude comes out with the starting pistol, and they must have hired Dirty Harry because this thing was a hand cannon that he shot in the air. This thing was massive, dude. Like he pulled out like,
Magnum.
dude, it was like the RoboCop gun. It was this thing was massive. I don't know, the dude probably broke his arm shooting this thing. That's crazy.
It was like a wide shot too, and there was no problem making out that that was a
Yeah,
giant pistol.
it was massive. Like, yeah. Oh God.
Yeah, something else from this that is sort of a question I had last weekend. I mean, last podcast. Why are all the second year Autobots Frasier? Trax is Frasier too. He's like worse than Frasier. He's like one of the white guys at the country club in Trading Places. Dude, he talks like this. Oh, how revolting,
You remind
Oh.
those dudes that like would always talk with their jaws clenched, you know? Like that's how you could tell
Right.
like a rich dude's name. It was like Gregory Evans the third, you know, like
Right.
you don't have to open your mouth to say it, you know, and
But
he's
the
got a
beauty is,
sweater tied across his
and
he doesn't
man,
have to.
I think that's wrong because Trax should talk like a redneck. He should
He's a
be
Corvette
like
with a
about as
stingray.
redneck as Ironhide.
Yeah. I mean, really, if he's a Corvette, he should probably sound like Jimmy Buffett or something like that.
Yeah,
Oh
totally.
man. Some boomer dad is what he
Right.
would
But
use
he
it.
says Augie Kinney, the best way possible in the entire episode.
He
Augie.
says it with such disdain. Augie Kinney. He sounds like the Great Kazoo. Dum
Oh my
dum.
God, he does. Dum dum. Oh, that would have been the best thing ever if he just
Maybe
said dum
even
dum
a
once.
little bit continuity here. Throwback, Paul Lynde.
As our friend Wu has said, that you are the Paul end of a
Hey.
podcast.
Oh man.
Oh jeez.
They
Okay.
just found an archaeologist? Like
Yeah.
they didn't even depict this in the story. They just have him.
They went to Yelp and was like, they're Dr. Terra Nova. That sounds awesome. Let's get this guy.
Pick this dude out of like DC's like House of Mysteries. This dude's like looks like Cain and or Abel from
He does look
Mr.
kind of like
Incredible
Kane and
Adventures.
Ace 100%.
Oh yeah.
So
So
something I want to do, you guys take notes when you watch these, right?
yeah.
Do you ever take a note and then it's immediately void?
Yes.
Because right around here, I basically said something to the effect of, hey, everybody's not an idiot this episode. Nobody's doing anything dumb to move the plot forward. And then they let Dr. Terra Nova escape.
They're just talking.
They're just talking. And let me tell you something. For a husky, bookish type, Dr. Terra Nova is spry. He makes it up that hill quick.
Is. Ancient Aliens guy goes fast. He
Right.
scurries. But who finds him? Was it like Blue Streak finds him or?
Blue Streak finds him.
Yeah.
And this is my only knock on this episode. I don't recognize Blue Streak's right to exist.
Oh,
okay. You're talking about notes
okay.
that become irrelevant. Like I have a note in this one. Who is this gray 280ZX?
Right.
It's Blue Streak.
I'm on record saying that I saw the Blue Streak action figure when I was a kid. I'll fight
You.
every one of you Transformers fans for that.
Well,
Well, and
I
the
mean, first of
Berenstain Bears
all,
are spelled EIN also.
no, it's AIN. Everyone knows
you
that.
know,
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
repaints are part of the game. But if you're going to get me to buy a toy twice, it has to have a purpose and a personality to make me do that. With Ratchet, he's the doctor. He's a personality. I mean, with a purpose. With Ironhide, he's the salty old coot. He's the Festus to Optimus Prime's Matt Dillon. So those guys, I recognize their right to exist, but there's no need for Blue Streak. He doesn't do anything that Prowl doesn't, and Prowl's cooler because he's a cop car.
Oh, the
And
smoke screen's cooler also because he has numbers on him, and that's
right,
a
exactly.
very cool. And
And
also he's blue.
I mean, and also, Kid Brain, he's not blue.
Yeah,
Why would you
I
make a
know.
character Blue Streak who doesn't even have a blue streak?
I agree.
Because he speaks a blue streak. He doesn't stop talking.
But they don't even use that in this because they just use Cliffjumper's voice.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah, you're not. Yeah, dude, when this guy gets released with like glammy vacuum sealed gold pants G2 Bumblebee, I will get him too.
Right. I'm with you.
I mean, like, give it to me now.
Speaking
So yeah,
of
the
Bumblebee, though, speaking of Bumblebee, the race is on, and Bumblebee gets stops and transforms and gets mad that Augie is driving like a dick. So he's essentially me when I'm walking my dog. He's just like, slow down, turn your brights down. This is me every day when I'm walking my dog. And so I'm very much here. I'm here for his cause. I feel for Bumblebee, and it sucks,
Yeah,
man.
Bumblebee's nerdishness like overlapped with mine in that too, because I'm the same way anytime I'm driving down Kimstrand Road. This
Oh,
is not a highway, it's a two-lane road.
I hate Kim Strandrow so much.
Speaking of dudes that drive like a dick, though, we get the Stunticons here, and this is cool. Like we've had combiners in like all these episodes. Like, this is awesome.
My
This is
note for
like
this part was, man, they love saying Stunticons.
they
They say
do.
Stunticon
Stuntacon a lot.
they just love it. And it is, it's a cool name.
I gotta say, they brought the Stunticons out in Legacy. They're
Right?
great. They're like they're good size.
Those are
They're
big, man. Do they
cool
combine?
cars. Oh, yeah, they
They
combine.
combine into
Minotaur.
Minotaur.
Yes, they do. They're
So
great.
do you have that legacy Motor Master?
Yeah, I do. Is in the other room.
Oh, he's so handsome.
He is
He's a little
very
gentleman.
handsome. He's a swarthy gentleman, is what he is. Who talks like mud. Harcourt mud.
He talks like someone who has a Kris Kristofferson 8-track in his truck.
Oh, he does.
He probably
And
does
just
have
drink
one.
it and just
He
drink
probably
it
has one of himself. He
in
probably
himself, because
drinks
he doesn't have, he is a truck. Good
Right.
point, Ed.
He listened to his 8-track Kris Kristofferson, just drank a case of Busch Light. And he's like having a conversation, seeing his kids, you know. That's him. Motor
So,
Master's the
like,
best.
I've been kind of chronicling the ads that I get on YouTube watching the show. They haven't been crazy. They haven't been as bad lately as they have been. I don't know if there was something that was wrong for a few weeks where it was just they were the ad algorithm was just out of control and just every 2 minutes was showing an ad. It hasn't been bad, but right here in this one, I did get an ad for Tijuana Flats, where it has a tin robot and a Yeti action figure, like talking about street tacos. And man. I love street tacos, and I really
Not
want
there.
those now. You seeing that in my notes now, it reminded me of that, and I haven't eaten dinner yet, and so like I'm gonna go get these, and y'all
Go,
finish up. Go to
that
El
totally
Asador.
sounds like advertising that could work on me.
I know. I want that right now.
I
Top tier
enjoy
El
being a
Asador.
market.
Go get the Campechanos, man, for El Asador. Every time I'm in Pensacola, I get those things because they're
Never been
cracked.
to El Asador.
Oh my God!
This is why I never saw Ghostbusters when I until I was
Oh
30.
my God! If you like
Yeah.
street tacos, go to El Asador and get you four Campechanos and get the
I don't
brown
want to eat at a
sauce.
food truck that's parked next to a dumpster.
Doesn't matter.
All food trucks are parked next to dumpsters. That's
It's so
part of
good.
the
Oh
food
yeah.
truck.
You will be
Oh.
in line with a lawyer, with a guy from working our roofs, and a guy who is like came off that night crew at Walmart, and they are all in line talking to each other because they're about to get amazing food.
Okay, so to explain this for the listeners who don't know what we're talking about, because we have eight listeners that'll know that what we're talking about there. El Asador is a food truck in Pensacola, Florida, was voted the number two taco place in the country recently.
Right.
For some reason, I've just never been there, so
Okay.
I'll
Well,
go to
I mean,
that.
probably because of where it is, and it's kind of hard to get in and out of.
It's in a street that I don't like to go to, and it's on a part of that street that I really don't like to go to.
Right.
I actually went and got a quart of their brown sauce to take back with me to
Oh,
Auburn
yeah.
because it is
Oh.
spicy. It'll spice. It's so spicy, it'll burn you a day later. I can't get enough of it. I get sweats whenever I have tacos from there, but it's so good. I don't care. It's a life-changing experience. Campechanos as Ed as that is asada and I believe it's tongue.
Okay, I'll
So
check it out.
good. Dude, I
So
want them right now.
I don't know which Stunticon did this though, but one of them like ran in front of the Autobots and transformed and pulled a gun out. And I think it was the maroon one.
Dead end.
It was dead end, yeah. And he's like, "Say hello to the champion." And his delivery of champion was real. It was very much like an 80s wrestling ring announcer. And
Yes,
I was here
yes.
for that.
It's my favorite Stunticon, man. I'm loving it.
I liked that scene because it had the twins in it. It had Sunstreaker
Oh yeah,
and what's the other
Sideswipe,
one?
Sideswipe,
Sideswipe.
and
Yeah,
man,
I've always thought those guys weren't used enough.
they weren't, and also together, and like Sideswipe is pissed off Sunstreakers and made him take a shortcut somewhere, and they ended up on the road together by themselves. Like, come on, man, like the trick, he took us out of here, and
Right.
no other cars are around them, so the sun kind of show up after them. They're like the least problematic ones. They're the ones not near the finish line, but sun kind of show up there.
You can take all of them out. You got to take all the get all the variables off the table.
And by the way, the Stunticons have been alive for like 2 weeks at this point. Are the Autobots bummed that they're so much better at driving than them?
They're
Because they are.
they
Being
are
cars.
they are the MVPs since they showed up.
Right.
They're
Motor Master
fantastic.
even does a Motor Master does like a Superfly Snuka's body splash off onto Wheeljack and just like flattens him out. This is cool.
And the only thing Wheeljack says is ow.
Ow.
Right.
He was totally wrecked.
Yeah, he was bad.
Well, I think my favorite one on this was when Blue Streak gets on top of one of the Stunticons. I'm not sure which one.
I can't think of which one it is at the moment.
But, the Stunticon runs into a cave and Blue Streak runs into a wall. And then the Stunticon's just like, okay, that took care of that. Like, what did he think? He
Drives off.
disintegrated? Like,
Yeah.
he didn't think to look up.
Right. The Stunticons aren't the
They're good at
smartest either.
driving, they're not good at thinking.
Yeah, they're really not good at thinking.
I think that was Wild Rider because he's the one, the gray one with the red windows, and that's a real cool color scheme. Like, I want to steal that for like
It is a real cool color scheme. Yeah. Showing off my
yeah.
toys here. They honestly, it's this quickly becomes the episode for Blue Streak, even though I know it must pain you both.
Yeah.
He's become like
He's not blue. He's not blue. It's annoying. Anyway.
I mean, this one is his time to shine. I don't
It
even
is.
think he got really focused in season one at all.
No, he really didn't show up until like I think season two, didn't he? Maybe not. I don't know.
No,
Wait, no, he was in
he's
season
a
one.
year one
You're right.
Transformer. I just don't think he gets featured much.
Yeah, he was underused a lot. I remember he was there. These are the one Transformer that my ex-wife, Jehu and Ed, she kept the blue streak because I got her one at a BotCon and it was a Japanese box stuff. I'm like, all right, you can take it. I
Yeah.
lost blue streak in the divorce.
Right.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, I know. But it was actually hers, so I can't say too much.
That still sucks though. They focus on tracks a lot for a little bit here, and something I always liked tracks because I've talked about how I liked him because of the toy. One of the cooler Transformers like
Yeah.
toys, from the 80s. But I never really realized how much he looks like a 1970s Japanese super robot. Like he's got like a lot of design cues from like Mazinger Z and Raideen and all these guys. For he's got the red face and like
Right. Yeah, I can see that.
the diagonal like wings and fins and
He's
stuff. Like,
the most unique looking of the season two Autobots for
he's
sure.
cool. He's a cool
And
guy.
also the fact that he would have like the winged mode is very like 70s giant robot
Oh
thing.
yeah.
That is straight out of some some of those like tinfoil costume live action Japanese shows. What if
Right.
that's some Kamen
Almost.
Rider stuff?
Yeah. I can see like a show with like a dude that like drives like some Japanese version of like Knight Rider where he
I
gets
would say
it.
that is
That
like
would be
the Japanese Sentai version of Knight Rider. You would love that show so much.
and that would be pretty cool.
Augie
Right.
Kane
Oh, yeah, or just the recurring rogue. He would he
would
kind of shows up and does some stuff, and then he leaves.
a villain. He's like the involuntary helper of the good guys. He wants to be a bad guy, but he ends up helping them all the time.
Right.
Yeah, I can see
The
it.
sort of ongoing rival that's really part of the crew.
And then he just joins up eventually, and like kind
Right.
of like Hawkman from Buck Rogers. Remember
Yeah,
when
yeah.
even to the good side, it was like, Hawkman's with Buck now.
He's the best character of the show.
Hawkman was real cool.
Dude, that guy was a soap opera actor, you know.
You think?
Sure.
I bet he
He was
was.
on One Life to Live as a villain for years.
Oh yeah, did he have a cool name on there?
I can't remember. His name in real life is Tom Christopher. I'm trying to
Oh,
pronounce the H in there.
like, yeah,
Because
I'll just say
it's a
make sure his name has
THOM,
an H in
Tom.
it.
Yeah.
Tom.
But
Yeah.
I can't remember what his name was on One Life to Live, but he was a cool villain.
It wasn't
That is.
Robert Scorpio, the best name of in the history of soap
Oh, I
operas?
mean, of
Yeah.
course. That is the best name
This is
ever.
the best name in the history of soap operas.
This is the only Venn diagram of nerd podcast where you go into wrestling and soap opera so heavy.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I think someone should go back and rank who's got us the most off track on this episode.
oof.
Because
That's
I mean,
hard.
we're just
Trigger can do that. Trigger will do that. Trigger for a while
we're
was.
stunticons in this episode.
Oh
We're just
God.
flying over things into the next
Oh, no.
hey, so you want to go even more off track? There was an ad for the new John Wick movie. Have you guys seen the new John Wick coming out?
Ballerina?
Ballerina, the
Oh,
new
yeah.
John Wick. I
Have
haven't
not.
seen John Wick 4 yet. I
Neither have
haven't
I.
watched John Wick 3 yet. And I don't need any more John Wick movies because the first one was so good that I had to redo the ranking of the action movies because I was like,
So,
that just came out of nowhere. That was so good.
how many Jason Bourne movies did you watch?
Just the first one.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess
But
you're
it's
one and done. You're Raiders of the Lost Ark, you're done.
well, with John Wick though, it was like I feel like even like they have the TV show now and all this stuff, and it just kind of strays away from what the it was about. It's gonna get real fast and furious. I'm gonna tell you, he's gonna go to space.
Oh, please.
Well, I will say the TV show is garbage, and it's garbage because it's portraying a young Ian McShane, and
Oh,
that's a fallacy. That never
yeah.
existed.
He's
No,
never
Ian
young.
McShane looked the same 40 years ago as he does today.
No, he's like Arn Anderson.
Yeah, right, exactly. But I will watch this thing because I think that chick is awesome. Ana de Armas or whatever.
Yeah.
She was in the last Bond movie, so I'll watch it for her.
Yeah, I think she was in Knives Out also. I was a big
She
fan of Knives
was, yes.
Out.
Those are great movies.
Yeah.
Like Glass Onion and Knives Out. I love those.
I like Glass Onion better than Knives Out.
Different ways. There's some different things about it. I like the social commentary of Glass Onion more than Knives Out.
I
Yeah,
saw it before.
I
I saw Glass Onion first for some reason, and then I saw Knives Out. But
man, what is with you?
I saw Ghostbusters 2 before I saw Ghostbusters 1.
Just okay. Once again, we're into the podcast. This is it. We're done. The happy slime or yeah, no.
Hey,
We're
do you guys remember when you were in like first grade and like Christmas came around and the teacher would like wanted to go outside and like smoke or whatever, so she would like make you guys make like Christmas ornaments and just put a bunch of styrofoam balls and glitter and glue and stuff all over his table, and like
100%.
everything was covered in glitter or whatever. That is exactly what the pearl looks like from in this episode. It's like it's just a ball that somebody painted gold with glitter and glued a bunch of other stuff onto it.
Oh God, yeah. Well, that's my headcanon now. Thanks. It does. It looks like they took like a kind of like a Nerf ball and stuffed diamonds into it. It's just the weirdest looking thing. Apparently, though, that was a cover that someone made, a solid gold cover for the actual pearl.
Yeah, we got some backstory. We got a
Yeah.
flashback.
There was continuity-ish in this episode.
That very vague continuity-ish. Yeah. But yeah, so th we go through all the Autobots, getting like waylaid by the Decepticons, but there's only one Autobot who actually scanned the Decepticons, and that was your boy Trux. He
Tracks.
thought to scan them. He's like, those aren't just cars, those are Stunticons. And I gotta hand it to him, man. Him and Bumblebee were like, oh, they're on top of things. So
Bumblebee did a lot. Bumblebee actually low key did a lot in this episode.
he was he
Bumblebee
was
was
like
like,
he was the hero, I would say.
he was the most worthy of the position he gets stuck in this one, which I think this would be a good point to point out something that's very strange about this episode. No Optimus Prime, no Starscream.
Oh wow.
Guys who are in almost every episode, neither of them show up.
They don't
It was
even talk
just,
about the Optimus
yeah.
Prime in this one.
Was Megatron and Soundwave.
And
Yeah.
Rumble
Well, Rumble, yeah, of
for a
course.
minute, and then just the Crashacons.
The Decepticons.
So,
I gotta
but
say though, I was really happy that dead end actually did the whole like zero G, flipping over. He like flies from a standing drive. He did it once in the episode. Like they never done that again. So I'm
right.
happy with that.
Right.
So it turns out that the thing that the pearl is like a weather dominator. So it's
Yeah,
they
didn't we do the Weather Dominator last week?
want I like
I
I'm
feel like we just did the Weather
I feel like
Dominator.
we did another G.I. Joe recycled plot last week.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
so it was like, oh, so well, these guys once again, Transformers does in one episode what G.I. Joe does in five,
Yeah. But
which is
man,
fine.
I love the G.I. Joe, the Weather Dominator episodes. They're so good. That first whole season of G.I. Joe, where there would be like a five-part miniseries, like the Pyramid of Darkness, and all that stuff is so good.
I agree totally.
Oh man, and the Baroness in that Pyramid of Darkness, the green shaded eyeglasses and like the Cobra outfit, so good. That was like a perfect Baroness.
What
Yeah.
I think what I love most about the Pyramid of Darkness is when they find Shipwreck in the desert.
Yes.
And then like, oh, this is our sailor. Here's our
And a
top
Cobra
sailor,
bar.
Shipwreck, who we found in the desert, as far from the sea as he could possibly be.
In a Cobra bar.
Right.
This guy might not be the best sailor, guys. I'm just saying, if he's in a pool, he
Right.
might not be the best at what he does.
And his parrot will tell you. The worst sailor. And yeah, he's in the middle of the desert in the cover bar, and they're like, yeah, this is our guy. He's gonna be part of G.I. Joe. I love early G.I. Joe so much.
Yeah.
Though I think my favorite of later of season one is Worlds Without End. It seemed very Star Trek, the original series plot line.
Is it that one where they go to an alternate dimension?
Yes.
Yes, and they like leave three characters there. It was kind of
Yeah.
heavy.
A
Yeah,
breaker,
like
breaker.
Stealer, I think, stays.
Yeah. Stealer stays. Yeah,
He was in
he
love. He
gets.
was in love with the Baroness.
Yeah, but all the
Yeah.
G.I. Joes over there are dead. They find their skeletons on their dog
Yeah.
tags. It
Yeah.
was great.
I want to go back and watch that.
It really holds up. I watched it recently. Worlds Without End. Anyways.
So Megatron is just like throwing lightning around, and this is real cool. I like so, but then like things moved really fast in this episode, like real fast. It was just like, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do this, and this happens, and it was just like it was like getting Skittles thrown in my face.
Oh, we completely skipped over where Augie had his car stolen and like got a blue streak. He's like, let me drive. I'm better
That's
than
what I'm saying.
you.
It was like so many things happened so fast. It was like this machine gun pace of like this could have been like three episodes, I think.
I mean, and Augie's, remember his whole point was, oh, you guys can drive better than me because you're robots. But then he gets in, he's like, no, you can't drive. That's just some stuff I was saying. I'm gonna drive.
Yeah, so we got to figure out why the Stunticons have stolen Augie's car. His
That's
weird looking like Blade Runner car thingy. No, actually, it looks like a one of those futuristic Hot Wheels cars you see with like didn't make any sense, but just
right. Yeah.
futuristic. Yeah. But yeah, so Augie, Bumblebee, and Trax like pull to the finish line. And like there's a whole controversy. Whoa, Augie's driving Blue Streak. Who's winning? And Blue Streak wins and but they keep going.
They
Blue
just keep
Streak
going. Won this race. Like Datsun 280ZX won this race.
Yeah, they
And
did.
a Volkswagen Bug was a
Volkswagen
close
Bug
contender.
came in second. Yeah,
Yeah.
with a Corvette. There was like cars built for this, like rally cars, like built for this, like here. And then these dudes are what won. So
Yeah.
but
Dime
so
out about it.
Bumblebee gets he gets the pearl, and he like Megatron is like using it, and he just stands completely still while Bumblebee runs up him and grabs it and runs away, and then he freaks out about it, and this was funny. But
He
he
drives
like takes
up.
it, he takes it and splits it. And he goes into this big like Frank Frazetta like holding the sword up pose, and I'm just
Yes.
like, oh, this is cool. And
Right.
the second that it happened, I get an ad.
Oh.
You messed up the Frazetta pose. No, I was so into the Frazetta. So,
So yeah,
but
it starts causing storms and going crazy and like electrocuting all the Stunicons.
see, I thought we were
Although
gonna
this
get.
week also proves again that the Constructicons are union.
Oh yeah, totally. They
Because they
left. They're
built
done.
everything and then they were done. They fired a few shots in the beginning of the fight and then they just disappeared.
Are like, oh no, that's overtime. You want me to stay? Okay, I'm
Right.
leaving then.
See, I thought that we were going to get a whole episode with two combiner teams and no one was going to combine, because we're in the stretch. We're in the home stretch of this
Right.
episode now.
No,
And
no, no.
nobody
They're
had formed. Nobody had formed together. Nobody had merged
No,
or
the
whatever.
Sunda comes with the scabs here, man.
I
Constructicons
guess
are gone. They
they've
crossed
got
picket
overtime.
lines.
Yeah, so they combine.
They would be too.
That was cool.
But yeah, there's this whole like thing where you know the Bumblebee's like he releases the power into the sky and there's this whole whirlwind thing going on and there's a lightning like electrocuting Stunticons and it and the, like they're like oh wait hey we can form Minasaur. Oh guys, I wish to do that.
Right.
Our big claim to fame, we should probably do that too. So yeah, they form Minasaur and that and like Augie just leaves. He's like, yeah, I'm out.
He takes off. He pulls the total anime rogue thing. He
Yeah,
pulls the Han Solo. I was oh, I'll see you guys later. I got my money. I'll see you guys later.
and for some reason, this his car, the whole thing with the part of the MacGuffin of this thing was his car's engine was made of a super alloy that was supposed to like hold the power of the weather dominator core thing in it.
It was energy resistant,
Yeah.
Alice. What was what they said? So yeah, that was the yeah, like, yeah. There
Yeah,
was
I
a
mean,
whole lot of MacGuffins going on. This was
it
like,
was like there was MacGuffins overlaying
yeah,
MacGuffins.
this was like the Jason Momoa Conan movie where every
Right.
MacGuffin had like three MacGuffins on top of it.
Man, the
Another
Jason
movie.
Momoa Conan movie is one of those things that every once in a while I'll be like, no, that had to be good. Like, he's perfect casting. It had to be good. And then you go back and it's like, no, it wasn't. It was
Wasn't
awful.
good. It
How did they
wasn't
mess
good.
this up?
I liked it, and then I watched it again, and like, this is bad. Like
Yeah.
you watch, you know, exactly. You're like, I think I like that. And you watch it again, like, no, I didn't like that at all. I like
Right.
things about it. I didn't like it.
I like that Jason Momoa is Conan. That's it. That's
He's a
I
great
don't like
Conan. I thought
that
that was gonna be cool.
Ron, what's his name, is in it. Beast.
Ron Perlman.
Hellboy, Ron
Oh yeah,
Perlman.
Ron
Yeah.
Perlman. Yeah.
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 I don't know.
So Augie comes flying his car. He Han Solos back in. He comes the anime rogue. He comes flying. He drives his car off of a cliff and smashes Minasaur in the face. He
Face.
blows his face up. He blew his entire face up. This was cool. His whole face was on fire.
And he jumps out of the car. He's like, yeah, it's what I do, guys. I'm the best racer. And yeah, that whole attitude, it was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
And that just in like the whole energy thing up in the cyclone, Bumblebee decides I'm gonna go up in the cyclone and shoot this thing.
Right.
This solves
He just
everything.
decides that's how this will work. And it does.
Yeah,
Sure.
essentially it does. Like, well, all right, let's use weapons. Yeah, and it fixes all the stuff. We're all happy now. And the end of the episode is the announcer like, we're waiting on the winners to come back for an interview. And of course that doesn't happen.
And then they zoom
Also,
out
why
and
is
he's
this
there by
white
himself.
Clark Kent looking dude the announcer in Istanbul?
Man, I gotta make a confession. Every time I heard Istanbul in the episode, I did the whole like not Constantinople, like
Right.
there might be giants. I kept every time I heard Istanbul, it went through my head. Like it was like a tick every time. So there I am on that
I
one.
think everybody that's ever heard that song does that.
Yeah, it's a
Like I'm not
kick
even a
there.
fan. I don't even really care for They Might Be Giants, but I
Yeah, they're
do
all
that
right.
every time. It's fine. I like it's just it's not I don't know. It's not my like I didn't wear MC Escher shirts when I was in high
Neither
school,
did
so
I. God, no.
I didn't really jive with They Might Be
Right.
Giants. No, it's fine.
No,
It's
I was
fine. It's
too busy wearing polo shirts. Thanks. Thanks
fine.
for that reminder.
Oh, you were wearing
One
polo
time, some
shirts?
of my friends tried to make me feel bad by acting like they had went to a They Might Be Giant show and not invited me, and I no-sold it. I acted like I couldn't even understand what they were talking about, like they were speaking another language. I was really proud of Jehu that day.
Are you a fan of They Might Be? Are you a fan of They Might Be Giants?
Well, this would have been like 1989 or something like
Oh
then,
Jesus!
that,
Okay.
and they were in Pensacola, so I just went to see them.
They played here? I didn't know they played here.
The thing is, I don't think they did. I think these dudes make it up. I did like that debut tape they did.
It's fine. It's
Yeah.
fine.
The
It's
pink
just I don't
one,
know.
I liked it, you know.
Actually, their kids' albums are really good. They're really catchy.
I mean, they seem like they'd be great at making kids records.
They're really
Yeah.
good. I got it and I listened to it and like I listened to it. He didn't like it, and I liked it more than he did. But yeah,
Well,
they're good music and they're not they're catchy. Nothing
that's
wrong with
cool.
it.
I like the Dead Milkmen. They have that same role for me, I think, as
Right.
the
I could
yeah, I can
see
see
that
that.
how that's a one or the other.
They're clever, but they sound more like a band that I would want to listen to, and or
Right.
since it's which is to say that they're real sloppy and
Right.
yeah. Yeah. And yeah, you watch Ghostbusters 2 first. I mean, you're not winning anything here.
Okay, let me tell you the story of why I saw Ghostbusters 2 before I saw Ghostbusters 1. Okay. So when I was a kid, my mom and dad split up when I was a baby. So I live half and half with my mom and my dad, half in North Carolina, half in Alabama, and then Florida. So my dad could not care anything about any sort of pop culture. Every now and then he'll find a TV show. I think I said like, last episode or episode before that, he wrote me a letter talking about Knight Rider, and
That's
like that
right.
was okay. Not, like, and we went to the movies together. And he liked James Bond, but he didn't really like love pop culture or music or whatever. He was, but my mom kind of the opposite. My mom loves music to this day. She's She still like goes to concerts, and she saw the Hoodoo Gurus like 2 weeks ago and got to
Oh,
hang out with
nice.
them, and that was
Oh,
very
right
cool.
on.
Yeah, it was very cool. They played a song for her too. That was very cool. But anyway, so my dad didn't have cable, didn't have a VCR, didn't have all this stuff, and my mom, we had a VCR, had cable and everything. So I would go and spend time with my dad, and then I'd come back and I'd be like, oh, because remember back in the 80s, it took a long time for something to come out on tape to rent.
Yeah, it
Oh
did.
yeah, totally. it took forever for things to come out on tape. So it took like a year, like a minimum of a year for it for a VHS to come out, and then probably longer for it to come out on like cable TV, and then another year for it to come out on like network TV. So
Right, totally.
I remember when like Star Wars first came on TV, it was just like they're showing it on TV, guys. It's
And
just
it was
coming
like
on.
8 years later or something.
Yeah, it
Like,
was.
yeah.
Yeah, I remember them showing like that and like Empire Strikes Back at the same time. So it had been that long since. But yeah. So
Wow.
anyway, yeah, I was just amazed that they were showing Star Wars on TV. But so I went to stay with my dad. I came back and I was like, oh hey, can my dad wouldn't take me to see Ghostbusters because it had bad words in it. And so fair enough. Even though, so I was the only kid that hadn't seen Ghostbusters. All my friends up there had seen Ghostbusters. Nobody hadn't seen it. So I came back and I was like, hey mom, now that Ghostbusters is out for rent, can we rent Ghostbusters? And she was like, oh, we saw it while you were up at your dad's. We're not gonna
Oh,
rent it again.
no.
And so I just never saw it. And it was a movie that wasn't on cable a whole lot.
Right.
But then Ghostbusters 2 came out. And I don't know if you guys remember in 1989, but Ghostbusters 2 was on TV every day.
Every like TBS,
It was on
wasn't it?
HBO.
Yeah.
It was on HBO. What's that?
Eventually came on TBS all the time, that kind of stuff. It would just show it on
It
all the
was
channels.
when it came out, when it first came out on HBO. Because remember back then, things came on HBO first, and then they came out, and then they filtered down to. It was on. It came on every day, and like you could not watch it. Like you had to see it at some point, and like even if you just saw it in bits and pieces, and so I saw it for years and years, and people, and I was like, it's okay, it's good, but it didn't make me want to go watch the first one, and so then and then at some point it just fell off the radar, and there was a I know that everyone loves Ghostbusters now, and it's part of the cult, like the zeitgeist, to that it's the best comedy of all time, like that and Back to the Future are the best comedies of all time, and so and they ha they're elevated to saint status and whatever, but there was a time where it was off the radar and nobody cared about it, and then eventually, like at work, people kept doing that thing you were doing earlier. Like, you've never seen Ghostbusters, blah, and the flipping tables over, and and all this, and I can't believe you've never seen it. And I'm like, dude, you never saw Spinal Tap. Like, what? Like, I watched Spinal Tap. Like, you've never seen Strange Brew. So finally, I think I was in my, God, it must have been 2007. It was like 2000, I was like 31, 32
I'm sure it did live up to the hype.
when I saw it. I was like, it was good, and it almost did, but it was good. But I mean, I don't know. I like it. I own it. I've bought it like three times on various platforms, and like I like it a lot. But yeah, I just never seen. I've never seen Tron, for the same reason. I've never seen Tron.
I
Seen Tron
will,
Legacy. I've seen
as an
Tron
act of
Legacy.
solidarity, I'll say this here. I have never seen Goonies.
I don't like Goonies.
I've
I
never
love the
watched
horror
it.
thing.
I never made a decision not to watch it. It just never worked out,
No.
you know?
It's one of those movies where like people loved it. They were quoting all the playground kind of stuff. And I watched it and like I didn't get it. I still
And
don't get it.
here's how out of touch I am with it. The only thing I liked about it was Wolfman Has Nards, and that's a completely different movie.
That's the press from
Yeah.
Monsters.
Yeah.
That's from the Stephen King Goonies.
Right.
Okay, before we get into
Do we even
any,
remember where we were in this
are we
episode?
fit?
Well,
We're
we
done
were
with the
done.
episode.
But
We're
before we
done with
get
the
too
episode.
much further in this, I
Well,
just gotta
I
tell
will
you
say we missed one thing oh, what
at
did we
the
miss?
end. Auggie Kinney walking away and saying, "See you around, maybe." So he's a
He was
manic depressive,
clueless.
right? His manic episode was over, and he's going to binge on ice cream for 3 weeks straight.
He's cool. I want him in more episodes. I want him more than I want Spike in episodes.
I want to live in the alternate dimension where at this point they're just like nuts to Spike. we're going with Augie.
Augie and Blue Streak are buddies. It's like they're hanging out like Raul and Trax, Augie
Right.
and Blue Streak. Probably
Man,
make Blue
that'd be
Streak a much
great.
better
That's
character.
like Transformer Speed Racer. I'd be all about it. So,
Oh God, yes.
all
But
right. Well, I guess let's.
before we get there too,
Oh,
I
we're
gotta
gonna.
say,
Okay.
I meant to bring this up earlier. The geography in this episode, did you look at the maps at all? Did you stop and like pause on the maps?
I was going to, but I was working when I was watching this, so I didn't.
The
I couldn't.
maps, I could have probably drawn this when I was in third grade, because there's like Spain's kind of down here, France is here, but there's no line at the top of France, so France kind of goes off somewhere. And instead of there's no English Channel, it just kind of goes blue. There's all France is up here too. Germany, by the way, was already united in this map. There was no East West Germany. It was Germany.
Oh, good.
Future,
Czech
they call it
Republic.
future.
Yeah, the Czech Republic split off already, but it wouldn't say Czechoslovakia. It just said CZECH. So Czech. That's all it was. And it was like Hungary. Dude, a third grader did this. Albania is like written outside the lines and stuff. It's
Nice,
amazing.
nice.
Oh, in Yugoslavia, it's like they try to write real small, then the O got too big, and they try to fit it on before the line. It's amazing. But I love how France is like all of the Norse countries and all of the water up there. It's just that's all France.
Right.
Yeah,
Right.
just whatever.
It definitely looked more like a map of Westeros than like a map of actual Europe.
It was just the
Oh
best line.
man.
They had the Indiana Jones line through Europe to get to.
Right.
It's
I'm a
just
fan. I'm a fan
awful.
of that device. That's a
Yeah,
fun storytelling
that's a
device.
great plot device. I'll never
Oh,
knock.
so good. And they did it twice in the episode, so you saw the map twice, so you just see where they had gotten to already in the episode, which this with the same map drawn this by the same 8-year-old. So
Right.
good.
All right, so we got
Anyway,
reviews. I guess that's it. So, well, this was fun. We got two sets of combiners. Only one of them got to combine. We got a race. Races are cool. Races,
races
I've
are
said this
fun.
before. Races are cool, and they have a lot of mystique. Especially in the 80s. That's a spy thing. It's cool guys race cars. So I like that. I liked Augie. I thought Augie was cool. Adult Brain is gonna award this one four Skittles thrown at my face out of five. Kid Brain would have liked this one a lot too, especially if it was a case where I had a lot of Transformers, and then I could have put them all in car mode and like lined a race up, because my son was really big into the movie Cars for a while, so he's got like a bazillion like cars, like the Hot Wheels scale cars. So we used to line those guys up and just have, and we'd be the announcers and call them out, and then have like races around the rug, because a rug always has like a border, so that makes a natural racetrack. So I would have liked that to do that a lot when I was a kid with Autobots, and that would have been a lot of fun. No, I liked it. I don't think there was a lot of bad in this one at all. So Kid Brain will go four, and I cannot believe it's taking me this long to make this joke. Four Kraftwerk Men's Machines Das Models Trans Europe Expresses out of five. I cannot believe that I waited all the way through Trans Europe Express to make a Kraftwerk joke, one of my favorite bands of all time. So there it is. I avoid the low hanging fruit and save it till the end. Where are you guys at?
Man, as I said, this is my favorite episode of this. I think you can tell because unlike all the other ones that I've talked about on this, usually what I liked about it is some associated memory. This, I just like this episode. I think this is a fun 22 minutes of television. Kid
Yeah.
Brain and Adult Brain are totally aligned on this. So we're going to give it five of my favorite quote in this, which was how Trax described the Pearl of Bahudeen when he saw it, which was something the Easter Bunny brought you.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Yes. Evan, where are you
God.
at?
Yeah, man. Okay, so I watched this a couple weeks ago because we took a little break in between the episodes,
My
and
bad.
I watched it and thinking like, It is cool. It's just like a racing episode. Then I watched it again today because I'm like, I need a refresher. And I watched it like, man, I realized the beauty of Auggie Kinney
Right.
and the ridiculousness of this MacGuffin. And man, as soon as the guy in the mosque was like, be careful, once you gain it, you can't get rid of it, or whatever he said. It
Yeah,
was like, it was
right.
that whole like I said, it was the guy who gave Frank the Le Marchand configuration in Hellraiser. I'm like, I like this. This is really good. This is like a
Right.
whole Raiders of the Lost Ark Indiana Jones movie. This is so, immediately it got so much cooler to me. And so yeah, man. Even like, it's one of those weird things when you remember stuff when you're a kid and you rewatch it later. I like the Cinecons so much more than I did as a kid. And they're great. I can't get enough of them right now. So man, I will definitely, I'm giving this like 4.5 union jobbers who leave the show halfway through it out of 5, because I love it, man. The Constructicons did their job. They're gone. They're done. So yeah, totally fun episode. And I want to say on this, when we get to it, I'm excited to get to it because I'm one of those person who likes watching people's reactions on YouTube. But when we get to the 1986 movie,
Right.
I want to do a like live stream, have people on a live stream and like talk about it as we're watching, because I want to hear Ed's impressions of it.
Oh, okay.
I would
Yeah.
love that.
Oh man,
Yeah.
I'm watching like Gen Zers and like, I don't know, Gen Alphas pe people watching this movie, like how much they love it. And I'm like, oh, this is great. It holds up really well. I love it already. So I mean, I'm
Yeah.
extremely biased.
Well, I just
Okay.
can't wait for Ed to hear the soundtrack.
Oh my
I'm
God, that
positive you're gonna love
rips.
the soundtrack.
You know,
It
as a tie-in to
rips.
something else I was going to bring up is I have a friend that it specifically requested for us to do an episode, because I said when we do that, we do the movie, it's probably going to be like a 3-episode thing. We're probably going to have to split it up because
Right.
I know people want to be on to talk about it, and there's a lot to going on there. But my friend Roy,
I know Roy.
you know Roy, yeah. So
Yeah.
Roy specifically requested to do a that we should do an episode just about the music, and he wanted to be on that one, and which ties into Roy is also a podcaster, and I was on Roy's show 2 weeks ago. So
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
so I was on
What was it
Necro
called?
Macho Entertainments. It's a kind of a tongue-in-cheek podcast about the board game or the miniatures game Necromunda. It's a Warhammer tie-in. He's a massive fan of it and runs our local community. And it was a good time, and I got to delve into my tabletop gaming origin story in that a little
Oh,
bit. So
nice.
yeah, if
Yeah,
you have a if...
what was the name of it again, just so you can clearly?
Necro Macho Entertainment.
That's nice.
Yes, and they because they have like they actually edit their show. Unlike us, who just put up a raw feed, they edit like bumpers into their show, and they have like little comedy segments and stuff. And so Necro Macho is a character they created for the thing, and he's basically one of them doing a Macho Man Randy Savage impersonation, but set in Warhammer. So it's pretty funny.
Now, man,
Ed,
to my
like a decade ago, me and you talked about starting a surf guitar band,
Yes.
and we did one practice and never did it again. I think if we would have had the name Necro Mancho for it,
Well, no, okay,
it'd
that
still be
practice.
going.
Well, no, that actually was to get more off track. That was the prosthetics reunion that we were supposed to that we were
Right, that's
going
right.
for.
We were
Yeah,
going to be with Jamie Newman, that's right.
and that would have been real
Yeah,
cool.
we got together to practice without Jamie's songs.
Yeah, which was real weird. I didn't
It was
understand
very
that. So
strange.
yeah. So anyway, yeah. So all right, it was a good
To
time. Thanks for watching.
give a little like, to response to what you said, I mean, honestly, I think we're all killer, no filler. So I what do I need to like edit this stuff, man?
Right.
Come on.
No, I mean they like when I was on the show, they like we do our show. To pull the curtain back, like we do our show like over Zoom, and we have whatever mics we have laying around. They had like a mixer and
Oh, I want that.
like nice like Jehu, what are the Shure 95? Is that what they are? The nice like mics you use when you're actually in a band?
Oh man, I've never known a thing about mics. I
Okay.
should, because I've
You know
been
the
in
one, you know the one I'm
bands
talking about.
for
The, like
30
the like
years, but yeah, I know exactly what you're
the
talking
mic,
about.
you know, the when you think of a microphone,
Yeah.
it's a Shure. I think it's a like an M95 or something like
Right.
that. If they had like those with like boom stands and all
My
this stuff,
God, do they
and
have a sponsor?
no, they don't. No, they don't have a sponsor.
Anyone
They have
sponsors,
fake
let us
sponsors.
know.
They have fake sponsors. They have Necro Macho Nachos as a fake sponsor that they do, and
I buy those.
it's a bumper that they edit in. It has sound effects and all this stuff. It's crazy. They have a fake Warhammer version of Alex Jones in it that they edited little skits of him, and it's hilarious. And
I guess I'm just gonna yeah, I guess this ends here. I don't have fancy bumpers and like special sponsors and nice big microphones. Actually, I've been looking at mix boards for a while. I kind of wanted to pull the trigger on one just to be able to control that. I want more control. The one time I actually downloaded an equalizer and I put the episode up, it was like, because I didn't realize how
I
much data
remember
was going in.
that. I remember
Like,
that.
whoop,
Yes.
we're not doing this. Yeah, so
Well,
I've been scared to do it ever since because it sounded good on the computer, but not online.
I assumed you had a mixer, so I apologize for talking so loud.
No,
I
it's
figured you
raw,
would just turn
baby.
me down in the edit.
It's all raw.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. So I guess that's it. That's all I got.
That is Trans Europe Express. Guys, thanks so much for being here. Everyone, give us a thumbs up, a 5-star rating. Go check out Real Phonies also. Jehu's podcast he does with two other friends who talk about movies and anime and stuff in their lives. Check that out. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube if you wouldn't mind, if you're here this long. And thanks for being here. We will see you next week.
Roll out.
All right, thank you, man. More Than Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and/or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.